tool that serves you and your family every day. But how do you juggle all of life's demands, raise a family, and keep your house under control? That's what this show is all about. Welcome to the Stress Less Podcast. I'm Megan Smith, Midwest mama who is obsessed with getting rid of crap and passionate about realistic problem solving. And I'm here to help you transform your unique spaces by giving you permission to make intentional decisions that empower you to confidently stress less and live more. Again, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode. We are going to be spending a lot of our time talking about ways that you can organize your kitchen and maximize the efficiency of your kitchen. So we're going to be making sure that we have all the right stuff in all the right places. Along with that, on our to-do list today, we have a farm wife gripe about how to properly turn off the highway. And my current favorite find I'm sharing is one of my favorite things I have in my kitchen. For our tool talk today, I'm going to be sharing what's going on in my garage and why I am changing the wall. And our first Ask Me Anything today is from our very own Instagram community member. All right, let's get started with the farm wife gripe. I'm sorry, but some people just don't know how to turn off the highway. With all of the highway driving in my day, this happens to me like once a week at least. And what I'm saying may not be a completely legal thing to do, so just take this as a vent session rather than advice, unless I'm behind you on the road. I cannot stand when people are turning to the left off the highway, when no one else is coming in the oncoming lane, and the person in front of me does not pull into the other lane. Like, the people who slow down way ahead of time, which makes me slow down and wait until they finally get to their intersection and turn off the highway. If there is no one else in the other lane, can you please just pull over into the left lane so I can go by and keep my cruise control on? Our roads here in South Dakota are not busy. If there is a farm wife behind you, just please don't make her slow down for you. It's the most annoying thing ever. Unless you would like to start making the daily 30-minute drives to town with multiple kids in your backseat. That's just my PSA for all farm wives everywhere. Do not make a slowdown on the highway. All right, we can cross off the farm wife gripe and I can just let it go. So moving on to tool talk. Since Easter weekend, I have been working on a project in my garage. I don't know why I keep improving the function of our garage, but honestly, sometimes I think the garage is a safe place for me to practice projects. And also me getting used to using the tools that I have. For me, it just feels safer to do projects in the garage because if I make a mistake out there, it won't matter so much. But if I were to make a mistake with something I was doing in my house, I would have to look at it every day and that would bug me so much. So when you walk into our garage, there, like the door that you walk into is also on the same, like the wall that goes from our garage entry door to our entryway door that actually goes into the house is on your left. And on that wall, I used to have a hall tree. And so a hall tree, if you're not familiar with what that is, it's one of those things with hooks and shelving. And this one had cubbies for shoes under the bench part of it. So essentially you were supposed to be able to like sit on the bench. But also it turns out there wasn't enough hooks on that hall tree for our family and for all the different things that we need on the farm. And also the bench was never usable. It just became another flat surface that stuff would get set on, and then stuff just collected there. So we also couldn't use the cubbies for a long time because we had a puppy within the first year of having this garage, and our puppy would chew on our shoes. So we couldn't use the cubbies for like kids' shoes or our shoes or anything like that. And then to continue adding on from the previous episode where my friend and I were saying how more hooks solves a lot of problems, I wanted room for more hooks in my garage and along that wall. So since my husband works outside 24/7, he needs several different layer options kept where he can easily get to them. I mean, I think we're all familiar with South Dakota's weather and how it changes, and especially in the spring and fall and things, it can just be like so nice, or it can be super cold and then it'll change in the middle of the day to one or the other. But the five hooks we had by our entryway door was getting too full. And I wanted a whole wall of hooks because honestly, even the hoodies and jackets that the kids and I wear out and around on the farm, they needed a place to hang. And I didn't want them to be hanging in our house and in the mix with like our in-town and school stuff. So of course, I couldn't just screw some hooks into the wall. So I used some 1x4s and 1x2s and some beadboard to make a wainscoting look. Wainscoting, I don't really know how to say that word because I only ever read it on Pinterest, but hopefully you know what I'm talking about. So I wanted the wood that I was using as like to look like stained trim. And then I knew I was going to paint the beadboard. So I literally said I wanted to paint the beadboard the color of dirt. I didn't want the dirty stuff that we were going to be hanging on these hooks to leave the dark spots on the wall, because that's what was happening to my like nice white tape and textured wall anyways. So I used the same urethane enamel paint that I used on our entry door that you can wipe off so easily. It seriously has been holding up so awesome and I'm so impressed. But of course, when I was in Sioux Falls at Home Depot, I didn't know how many hooks I would need, and I only got 8. So now I have those 8 hooks on the wall that's actually off the landing, and now I need to get at least 8 more. But even just hanging up the coveralls and our other seasonal farm jackets on the hooks below the landing, it's already working out so well, and taking the hall tree out has opened it up more than I even expected. So really, it's turning out into a win-win. But to finish it up, I just need to get like 8 more black hooks. All right, are you ready to dig in? Today we are going to be talking about the importance of organizing your kitchen for optimal functionality. So here's the deal. Kitchen organization is important for people like you. You don't have time for your kitchen setup to be slowing you down or making you avoid meal prep or planning. Maybe I'm talking myself there. Also, you don't have time to dread cleaning up after supper or procrastinate to wash the dishes. You don't deserve to have your kitchen get in the way of living your life with your family. Can you tell I've told myself that a few times? I feel this deeply because I am in the thick of parenting years in my home. I also work full time. So I want to enjoy the hours I get in the evenings with our kids at home, not just be in a resentful rush every night trying to tackle daily tasks. Once I realized this, I became determined to eliminate anything that doesn't serve the purpose of our home. And whatever needed to stay, it had to make sense for my family. So today I'm sharing 4 steps to optimize your kitchen function. We are going to talk about how to categorize kitchen items, assign zones, create optimal use of your space, and we're going to talk about product solutions you may want to look into, and how to maintain your clutter-free kitchen. So, 1, we're going to categorize. 2, we're going to assign zones. 3, we're going to optimize your space with storage solutions, and then talk about how we can maintain regularly. And since I know you have already listened to episode 5, where I told you how to declutter your kitchen, you are now ready to organize your kitchen. But if you haven't heard that episode yet, I want you to stop listening right now. Go back to episode 5, how to declutter your kitchen. You don't want to create a zone or optimize your kitchen space for something you don't use. So decluttering must come first. Okay, let's do this. You can listen to this podcast at any time, but what I really think would be magical would be if you listen to it again when you're standing in your kitchen. Listen to it as you work through all the steps. And even right now, like look at the timestamp on the podcast, skip all the other stuff the second time through and come to this part, because next we're going to step 1. So first you are going to categorize your items. So in this step, you're going to group similar items together. And before we let that sound overwhelming, I actually have a download for you in the show notes. It's a PDF that lists out all the categories of kitchen items, both cooking and baking supplies, as well as food and drink items. This categories list will help you think of your kitchen items in groups and categories rather than as single items by themselves that you have to make a bunch of little decisions about. So when you're ready to organize your kitchen, you will want to use these categories to help you group your items together. Let the PDF download do the categorizing work for you so you can save your brain power for the things that only you can decide about your kitchen. You may already have your items stored in their categories, but if you don't, it may be helpful to take everything out of your drawers and cupboards and physically categorize or consolidate them before you put them back in their zones that we're going to talk about in step two. So step two is assign zones. And to put it in a way that is more exciting and makes more sense is put things where they are used. So don't get too technical on this assigning zones things. We're literally going to be putting things in your kitchen where they are used. So this is where you need to identify specific areas of your kitchen that you use for different tasks. You want to arrange items according to where you use them the most in your kitchen. So again, use the kitchen categories PDF download while you answer these questions about each category. So I want you to think about where you use it. Can you store it there? Can you store that category close to where you use it? So for example, think about pots, pans, and cooking utensils. Those should be kept near the stove area. Another one I always pay attention to in kitchens that I'm working in are plates, drinkware, and eating utensils. Are you able to put those near the dishwasher so loading and unloading the dishwasher is faster and easier? If you have a coffee maker, do you also have mugs kept near it? Or would it be helpful to move the coffee maker closer to where you store the mugs? Again, you have to go back to the question about how often do you use it and should it be kept somewhere else? A couple examples might be put an item on a higher shelf if you don't use it very often. Or move it to a place within arm's reach if you do use it often. Frequently used ingredients should be kept at eye level in the pantry or in a cabinet. You might notice that you have cutting boards, knives, and other food preparation tools. Do you have a naturally fitting prep zone in your kitchen that you always prep your food at? And what about a cleaning zone? The sink, the dishwasher, and cleaning supplies? Do those need to be together? It just depends on your routines and how you use your kitchen. Step three is to optimize cabinet and drawer space with storage solutions. So arrange frequently used items at eye level within arm's reach. Less frequently used items can be stored in higher or lower cabinets, generally lighter stuff up high, heavier stuff down low. Use vertical storage solutions like command hooks, adhesive bins, or racks to save cabinet space. It's important to keep things tidy while you get supplies in and out of your cabinets and drawers. One of my favorite things that I have in a couple of different cabinets in my kitchen is it's a stand that holds like cookie sheets and maybe muffin tins and a few other baking sheets. It holds them upright, but also when I'm getting one out, I'm not having to touch anything else. It's not like they all come crashing down. I don't need to pull a stack out, put it on the counter, get the one I want, and put the stack back. They're held up vertically on their side so that I can just grab the one I need and put it back without causing a disturbance to the entire cabinet. Research some storage solutions to maximize space and keep items nearly organized. A lot of times when I'm looking for a solution, I just type into Google or Amazon the items that I'm working with, and then the word organizer. And honestly, some people have come up with organizers for that specific kitchen item. Now, I'm not like a huge proponent of like buying a bunch of things to organize your things, but it might be worth looking into. Somebody else might have already had the issue you have of the potato masher that doesn't fit in your drawer. So some common and helpful products are drawer dividers, shelf risers, and stackable containers. You can also use clear containers in your pantry. Those are nice so you can easily see what's inside. Shelf risers are really nice in the pantry too. We use them with our bread. So on one shelf, we can have two layers of bread. That really helped out when we did that, just with giving us some more surface area to store and things in our pantry. And of course, I'm always a big fan of adding labels to any solution as well. I just like to make my brain do as little work as possible when I'm putting things away or trying to explain to someone else where I keep things. If I find a good arrangement that works, I do like to put a label on it just so I don't have to remember that every time. And it's just done for me. It's already decided. I don't need to think about it again. So those are some ways that you can look at your kitchen and decide like what needs to be organized or what could find a better solution. The last step is to maintain your kitchen and its clutter regularly. There are some strategies for preventing clutter buildup in the kitchen that I'd like to mention. So some families might use a one in and one out rule for kitchen gadgets and utensils. I know some people who use that for like their water bottles or cups. But finding storage solutions to keep countertops clear and organized is one of my favorite ways to make my kitchen feel tidy. Actually, I just thought of another one that I really love is I have some really strong magnetic strips for the inside of my cupboard that, again, is using vertical space, but that's where we keep our really sharp knives. I just had, like, I swear I had nightmares of keeping knives out on the counter because I was just always worried that, like, my kids were gonna grab a knife and get on the counter and do something when I wasn't looking and that there'd be a terrible accident. So I really like having those hidden away, but also I really like that the magnets are strong enough to hold them there. So anyways, moving on. Once your kitchen is set up in an efficient way for your family, it should make it very easy for you and other family members to put things back in their designated places after each use. So you may find that some solutions only worked for your family for a certain season. And if you run into pain points in the future, you'll need to identify the pain point, then problem solve again to make it work well for you. I know I'm coming up on a season change where my kids aren't going to be using like the kid size silverware and kid size plates and cups pretty soon. So pretty soon, the drawer that I have down low that keeps all the kids' cups and bowls for them to be able to access easily, I won't need that anymore because they're not going to be using them. So as time goes on, you do need to like reevaluate. But once you get it set up for yourself, it actually is easier for you to realize like what's bothering you because then there's less things that your problems that you're running into. So it's easier to see the ones that you can actually problem solve. So to recap, when you go to organize your kitchen, you are going to categorize, assign zones, or put things where they are used, optimize your space with storage solutions, and then regularly maintain your kitchen. You have to try out this process for yourself, and then be sure to let me know on Instagram at Megan Smith Stress Less what helped you the most in your own kitchen. Okay, so back to my current favorite find in my kitchen. One of my favorite things is a good old adhesive bin. And maybe you've seen them. They're just like the clear acrylic type bin. They come in different sizes, but it's literally like a rectangle shape. There's two adhesive strips on the back, and you just take that backing off and stick the adhesive bin inside any cabinet where it will fit. I have one inside my kitchen island where I keep a bib, so it's not always left out. Like for a while when I didn't have, once we got rid of our high chair, but I still needed like a bib, we used the Baprins. I didn't always want it left out. And I didn't always want it put like far away. I just wanted it in a place where I could just grab it. And so I stuck one of those bins on the inside of my island cupboard and it's always there. I love it. Especially for now, like when younger kids come over to my house. It's just so easy to grab. I also have one that holds my parchment paper, tin foil, press and seal, and crockpot bags. It holds them like vertically and it just works really nicely and they're not taking up space in my pantry. And I'm not like digging for them. It's just always so easy to get out and put back. I just stick the little clear bin inside the cabinet door and it's just a really magical way of using almost hidden vertical space. I have two in my bathroom cupboard as well. Anyways, I love them and I want more. Of course, I will leave a link for you in the show notes. Okay, and this one I am going to give a shout out to Brooke from our Instagram community. And her question was, what do you do with items that you do not want to keep? So you have a few options here. You can sell, donate, or trash any item that you don't want to keep. So I have a few guidelines for that if you're not sure what to do. And also when donate can also be like give away to a friend if you know that it's something they would want. But remember, we don't want to be people who just pass on the problem. So if it's in good condition and you have all the pieces, selling it may be a good option. And if it's still in working condition and nice enough that someone could or should pay for it, but you don't want to deal with the selling part of it, like post taking pictures, posting, arranging a meetup, completing the meetup, donation is a great option too. However, if it's broken, if it's not in working condition, if it has missing pieces, just throw it away. You're not going to find the missing pieces. If you thought it was broken, or if it is broken, you haven't used it in a long time, it's not in working condition, it's not going to benefit anybody, so just throw it away. However, sometimes I like to take the path of least resistance, which is donate. I really love the drop-off option at Goodwill. I don't have a Goodwill near me, but I travel to other towns like Pier, Mitchell, Watertown, and Aberdeen often enough that they have a Goodwill, and it's literally so easy. You just pull up, they bring a big cart out, you unload your donations, and off you go. But also, check into your local thrift store or Salvation Army. Those would work too. And if you're getting rid of a lot of stuff, you could post on Facebook and do a clean out group where you could post it just for people you know, or post on your Facebook and Instagram stories. Facebook Marketplace works well too. I've actually had a clean out group like on my Facebook page that I've used a few times, like a couple different closet clean outs over the years, and then a couple different like decluttering kids stuff. So if you are in a time where you feel like you're going to be getting rid of things and emptying out your house, that might be a good route for you. Okay, and here we are already at the end of our episode. Doesn't it feel good to get all of those things checked off our to-do list today? Are you already thinking about where you're going to start in your kitchen? Like, what's the first mover adjustment you're going to make to help your kitchen run efficiently? Be sure to send me pictures or DMs on Instagram at Megan Smith Stress Less. Don't forget to download the kitchen categories list in the show notes. And as my dad always likes to say, make it a great day. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To keep this conversation going, connect with me on Instagram at Megan Smith Stress Less. I'm always looking for an excuse to talk about home organization. If you're looking for support decluttering, organizing, or making motherhood feel more manageable, check out my website, MeganSmithStressLess.com, and find out if a virtual, in-person, or DIY organizing session would be right for you. This episode is brought to you by Play Spaces That Work. If you're a mama who feels overwhelmed by the amount of toys in your home, or your frustration over a lack of toy storage means you're constantly nagging your children to clean up, then this audio course is for you. Your home doesn't have to feel like the toys have taken over. Hi, I'm Megan. I've combined my experience from being a mom, an elementary educator, and the owner of a professional home organizing business to bring you the step-by-step process to creating play spaces that work in your home. Inside this private podcast, you'll learn how to set up your home to function seamlessly with intentional toy evaluation and storage protocols, all while promoting independent play. When you enroll in Play Spaces That Work, a private podcast isn't the only thing you're getting, though. You will gain access to resources like the toy categories list, the toy evaluation tool, my product recommendation guide, the course workbook that will walk you through making all your decisions, plus a to-do list to keep you on track. Instead of spending more time tidying up your home than you spend with your family, it's time to create Play Spaces That Work. Be sure to visit the link in the show notes to learn more.